We're about to embark on a weekend whose theme is the identification of what is meaningful to each and every one of us in our own practice of Judaism. The question of where is our place? What talks to me as an individual within Torah? And so I thought I would get us started this morning by sharing with you something that I find to be deeply meaningful in Torah and in my Judaism. It's a story. It appears in a collection known as the Eicha Rabba, a collection of Midrashim organized around Sefer Eicha, Megillat Eicha. In this story, you may be familiar with parts of it, but I'm going to read you selections and tell you where I find it incredibly powerful and deeply moving. The setting is as follows. God has just decided that He's going to destroy the Beit HaMikdash and exile the Jewish people. After going back and forth, deliberating whether it was the right thing to do or not, the decision has been made. He is removing His Shekhinah from its place on earth, drawing Himself back. The decision is made. It's final. It's done. And now comes a series of petitioners. First Malachim, and then a series of famous people who come before God and plead to Him to change His decision, to stop the suffering, to end the tragedy as soon as possible. Miyad pasach Avraham lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar. Immediately, Avraham Avinu comes before God and he says as follows: Ribono shel Olam, Master of the world, lemei shana nasata li bein, ukshe'amal da'ato v'haya bachur ben 37 shanim, amar tali, ha'aleu olah lefanah. Before you granted me a child. And when he was 37 years old, you said to me, bring him as a sacrifice before me. The Nasiti Allah Ki'achzari below Rihantila. And I had to make myself cruel, steal myself against my inner intuitions, and not have mercy on my own child. And I need me at me, Kavat. Children? God doesn't answer. Pasach Yitzhak Yamar. Now Yitzhak comes before God and says, you're going to Ola. You shall honor me, Allah Elohim Rahe, Abraham, Asaf, the Ola Bini, Lo Yikav Yal Barakha, the Akanati Muratsoni, the Al Gabe Hamzbea. When my father said, it's time, and I said, I stretched my neck out beneath the knife. The Lord Kiskorizo, the Lord Tzachim Al-Banai, will you not remember this and have mercy on my children? God doesn't respond.
Pazach Yaakov Yamar Rabbono Shalom, Lo Esim Shana Amanati Bunis Lalam Shiatati Beso, Chaka Be'ezah Barasha, And now those children I was ready to give my life for, you are offering up. You, God, are offering up like shame to the slaughter. The Achash of Yalkan, Kefruchim Shaltan Jolim, Savaltian, and Sarabiduani, after I raised them so carefully, like little chicks, after I gave so much to make sure that they would grow up properly, they are coming to scurry themselves, but I came up by night. Would you not remember that? And have mercy? And God doesn't respond. The rust in the fan to Susba Mibar says, Moshe, for 4 years I worked for you. I did everything these people would have demanded of me, and we know it was not easy. For 40 years I gave up myself. I'm skipping a little bit. Moshe continues and he says to God, oh, Kvara, I'm sorry. He said, Amar Lofana, Ribon Shalom, Katamta, Bitzoratza, Vishor, Ose, 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 the halom kvar hargu paninu v'imo sehem kama v'kama v'atasho teik, says Moshe to God, you wrote in your Torah that an ox or a sheep shall not be killed on the same day with its offspring. God, you have already killed mothers and their babies. Many, many of them. And you're silent?
And God doesn't respond.
Be'osa sha'a kafza Rachel imenu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch. At that moment, kafza, Rachel imenu jumped into the conversation. Literally, jumped in front of God. The Amra, Ribono Shalom, Galui Lifanecha Sheyakov Avdecha Ahavani Ahava Yisera.
God, you know that Yaakov had unbridled, boundless love for me.
And for 7 years, he worked for my father. Just for me. Ukshashimo Sanshalashamim Yikizman Suiba Libali Ya'at Avila Hachlifini Libali Bishvil Achosi Vuksha Alai Hadabar Ad Meor. Guys and girls, you've heard this story since you're in kindergarten, but you probably never quite thought about the implications. From the time of little, we learn this story that Rachel gives over to her sister Leah the signs that she had made up with Yaakov. The signs that Yaakov would know that it was she, Rachel, under the veil. We've all heard the story, but think about what that means. Why did Yaakov and Rachel have signs?
They had signs because they feared this was going to happen.
Rachel says she knew. She had heard what was supposed to happen. She knew that Laban had intended to trick her. And that's why they made up signs. Lest Laban trick her. Because she knew she so much loved him, he loved her. Lest anybody come in between them, they made up signs. You're trying to know that it's really me. Listen to what the Midrash says.
Li'achakein nachamti be'atzmi v'savalti et ta'avati v'richamti al'achoti shelo titze l'chirka.
I made all these signs so that I would know it was him. And then at the last moment, I overcame can't do this to my sister. What will it be like for her? How awful, how ruined will she be if we go ahead with our plot? And so at the very last moment, I conquered my own inner desire. I took control of the And at that last moment, as Lenny was heading up to the chuppah, I gave her those simanim so that she wouldn't be embarrassed, so that he wouldn't know who it was. Says Rachel to God, "Umani, Basar v'na, Afar v'Efer, Lo kineti l'tzarashali, V'lo tzortia l'gusha v'lecherpa, V'ata melachai v'kayam rachaman, M'nei makinei dali alunat tochavim, She'ein v'amamash, V'iblita b'nai v'nehergu v'bachalet, V'asu oivim v'bam kirtzona." Says Rachel to God, "I, a lowly human being, I, flesh and blood, was able to overcome my own jealousy, was able to overcome the fact that I wanted Yaakov to be with me and not to be with anybody else. And you, God, are so jealous of the fact that your children are worshiping other gods? You, God, who is a Rachaman, can't deal with the fact that your people lust after another god? If I can do it," Rachel says to God, "so can you." Miyad nizgalgu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yamar v'shvilech Rachel ani machzir et Yisrael v'mikumah. Then God says, "Because of you, Rachel, I'm going to bring my children back." To me, this story is meaningful because it demonstrates that in our religion, in Torah, our interpersonal interactions are thought of by God than our interaction between us and God. Because what Rachel did for her sister ultimately merits the geula more so than what Abraham did to sacrifice his own child to God. What Yitzchak did by putting his own neck out in front of the knife, that was enough. But Rachel, who looked out for her sister, that was. It's meaningful to me because it demonstrates to us clearly that in our tradition, we have heroes. It's important to me because it demonstrates to me that Chazal had such a sensitivity to human emotion and passion. So often we think to ourselves, they just don't understand, they couldn't possibly understand. As teenagers, it comes up all the time. Chazal living hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, they don't get what it means to be a teenager. They don't get what it means to have passions and emotions. They don't get what it means to be drawn to something. Oh yes, they do. Oh yes, they do. The greatest sacrifice that God saw amongst all of those who came before him was Rachel, because she overcame her own personal desires. Her own desires, her love for Yaakov was pushing her so strongly in one direction, so much so that she made up some money. She was ready, she had a plan. And yet she was able to control herself. That was the greatest sacrifice. The greatest sacrifice. This story is meaningful to me because it demonstrates so clearly
that in Torah Judaism the expectation is that we have a relationship with God.
We can talk to Him, and sometimes, you know what? We can get angry with Him.
We can say to Him, God, it says in your Torah that you can't kill an animal
and its child. And you, God, are killing mothers and babies. How could that be? It shows us that you can say to God, if I can control my jealousy, God, so can you. That's the kind of relationship, the kind of closeness that the Torah wants us to have with God.
And I find this meaningful because it shows us that sometimes when we talk to God, no matter who we are,
the answer is no. And because sometimes when we talk to God, no matter who we are, the answer is yes. Who did say, Ko amar Hashem kol beraman nishma, nehi b'chi samurim rachem milaka v'aleha, na'ana lehi rachem v'aleha, ki enet.
This is why it says in Yirmiyahu that there's a voice coming from the city of Ramah. It's Rachel, offering a bitter cry over her children who are no longer there, and refusing to be comforted until God gives in.
Uchsiv Koamah Hashem.
And that's why God says to Rachel, stop crying.
Because something has come out of your request.
There is hope yet, and says God, yes indeed, I will return your children to their land. Good job.
Torah Mom goes with a few important announcements. First of all,